This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, we have a different type of episode today. We always say that, but this one is a little different.
It is. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this episode for a while now. Usually we have a guest on the episode who is either the person who's featured in an article in the Toastmaster magazine or the person who wrote the article in the Toastmaster magazine. And this month we are honored to have both because, Greg, you are the writer who wrote the article about the interview subject that we have on the show today. So, Greg, why don't you start off? Usually I introduce the guest, but I'm going to invite you to give a little bit of background and to welcome our guest onto the show today.
Thanks, Ryan. It's pretty exciting. This is my first article for the Toastmaster magazine. I was approached by Suzanne Fry. She's the publisher of the Toastmaster magazine, and she's also the manager of PR for Toastmasters. And she said, Greg, I noticed your interest in all things tech, being the gadget guy. Plus, of course, we do the podcast for the official Toastmasters podcast, and asked me whether I'd be interested in writing something for the Toastmaster magazine about this cool new app. And I thought, oh yeah, why not? It'll be really, really exciting because it incorporates all the things that I love. Well, I guess I have to introduce our guest today, Ryan, because, Ryan, can you put that away? I know it's addictive.
Wait. Oh. Oh, my gosh, I made it. Actually, this is like the best I've done so far. And that's not saying much.
Okay, well, let's not make this about us. Our guest today is David Reichelt. He's an advanced communicator silver. He joined Toastmasters in 2011 in a club in Las Cruces, New Mexico. He's currently a member of the NBC Toastmasters in Burbank, California, which holds its meetings on the Universal Studios lot. He joined Toastmasters originally because he wanted to become a stage musician and that he knew that public speaking skills were essential. So he looked up training and he found Toastmasters. But now he's a developer of an app. His app Color Switch has been downloaded over 125 million times. But interestingly enough, David was originally a non-programmer, and he's also colorblind. David Reichelt, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you very much, sir. A pleasure to be here.
So are you playing the game as we speak?
I am not a multitasker, so I'm barely getting through this interview right now. That's a lot of focus for me.
Single tasking.
Yeah, here single tasker.
So you have a very interesting story, David, lots of things that you were involved with and trying to do, and there's so many places we could jump in. I'm going to ask, just to start us off and give a little bit of context here, was this your first game that you developed, David, and did you just get lucky and hit a home run right out of the park first shot?
No, actually, I got into game development in July of 2013. There's three periods in my game design journey. The first one was took 6 months to publish my first game, and I actually outsourced the development to three different publishers over that time in China. That game really was kind of all over the place, didn't make any money. But what I learned from that was, to speed up the process, I'd have to learn how to build games myself. So the next 6 months, I built 40 games in some software that simplifies the process so you don't have to learn how to code. Published 40 of those, and those, I think at the most I was making like $80 a month. Those 6 months was a great learning experience because I failed many, many times and sharpened my skills. And then the last phase was a year after the 40 game mark, I came out with Color Switch, which was the first game that I published with the new improved software I was using. Even still, I did have a lot of projects on my computer that I didn't publish.
We're going to loop in the Toastmasters connection here soon, but I just want to stay with this theme for a moment. And I hope that our audience is appreciating what David is telling us, namely that you had 40, for all intents and purposes, failed games before you came upon Color Switch, which has been an incredible success. I think a lot of people would have probably given up maybe after the first try, maybe after the second, maybe after the 20th or 30th.
Yeah.
What drove you to keep going when you experienced failure after failure after failure? What propelled you on?
I think the secret ingredient to not quitting is really, if you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter how many times you fail, you're going to keep doing what you're doing until you have your breakthrough. Yeah, I was just passionate about creating. I mean, one, I love making games. It's a lot of fun. But I really have always wanted to travel the world and do my own work. And when I finally found game development, I said to myself, well, this is the thing I've been looking for all these years. This, I can do this. And I mean, I've been playing games since I was 5. I've always been inspired by Tron. I always thought that was a magic, that whole story and the idea of having your own game company. And so that kind of stayed in my subconscious. But really the key ingredient to, I think, anyone really staying the course is if you're passionate about what you're doing, that'll drive you through every failure along the way.
You've been working on game development for a while. How does Toastmasters fit into the picture?
Well, I would say in Toastmasters, it's a great place to where you can fail a bunch. And what I mean is, when you first start to learn the skill of public speaking, you're not going to be super polished and have your own way of doing it for a while. You have to do a bunch of speeches and kind of wade through all these failures of not being able to articulate yourself the way you want to. But it's such a great environment to where you get all this really good feedback that helps you fine tune all the elements that makes a great speech, and then also kind of finding your own style and way of doing it. By doing a speech every week for the last 4 or 5 years, I really learned the value of just doing and learning by failing. And then, you know, and then the next time you do it, it's a little better and a little better. So when I got into game development, I had that mindset of making as many games as I could in a short amount of time so I could fail a bunch in order to get my skills sharpened in this. And then, you know, also, I mean, since my game took off, the Toastmaster skills came in really handy because I've given all sorts of interviews, television, podcasts, radio, just every, you know, magazines, meeting up with reporters. And I've never really been nervous in any of those environments. And it's really all because of my time I spent in all the Toastmaster meetings. So, you know, you wouldn't think on the surface games and public speaking there'd be a connection, but there's a very clear connection now.
It seems like there's quite a few parallels, even in terms of developing your game, in terms of developing your skills.
Right.
Getting the feedback, testing things out, going back to the drawing board.
Yeah, in game design, you have to have what we call play testers. And these are like the members in Toastmasters who, once you give a speech, you can do a round robin or you have an evaluator. And the same thing exists in games. You know, we make a game, we give it to so many playtesters before we actually put it on the App Store, and they tell us all the good things and bad things, you know, what needs to be improved. And then we can improve the game more and more and more until we have it to the point to where it's ready to put on the market.
Now, you joined Toastmasters originally to help improve your magic. How did that come about?
Well, I picked up magic when I was in the Army. And I did close-up magic for a number of years, and then I wanted to become a stage magician. I just thought, well, stage magic is where you have to keep the attention of a large group in one spot, whereas close-up magic, I can roam around wherever I want, and I always have a new group of people. And I thought, well, if I want to be able to hold an audience's attention, I should learn public speaking. And then I just Googled public speaking training, and Toastmasters popped up. And then I went to the first meeting, really enjoyed it, and then did my icebreaker the next meeting the following week. And I never really got into stage magic, but I liked Toastmasters so much, I just kept doing it.
David, in Toastmasters, we talk a lot about communication skills and leadership skills. But one of the promises of Toastmasters is that Toastmasters offers us an opportunity to improve thinking skills. And I think sometimes that aspect of the Toastmasters experience maybe doesn't get as much attention as perhaps it should. And I know that thinking skills, especially creative thinking skills, are something that's very near and dear to your heart. Can you talk a little bit about that and about some of the things you've done maybe within Toastmasters and outside of Toastmasters to develop those skills?
To improve your thinking is the number one thing you can do to improve your life and everything that you're going to do in your life. Because literally you can't do anything without thinking about it first, whether it's a very conscious thought or a subconscious thought. You're creating your world every day throughout the day, whether you're taking a breath, looking somewhere, responding to something someone just said to you. So if you want results catered to your dreams and your goals, you have to think differently than everyone else. Now, if you go to college, you can oftentimes have a cookie cutter mentality about what you studied. If you have a cookie cutter way of thinking about what you studied, that means you think the same way as just about everyone else who studied psychology or math or whatever it is. Creative thinking skills are so important and so powerful that a $12 book filled with these techniques that I use called Thinker Toys, when I applied them to solve my problem, which was creating a hit game, a $12 book generated a multi-million dollar idea. Now, the book didn't do it itself. I had to learn how to use these techniques, apply them every day, and get very fluid in how I use them. It's like going to the gym for your brain. Creative thinking techniques and skills are so important that you can dynamically change your life in amazing ways. That is definitely something I think Toastmasters could use a lot more of, because just like I was saying, when you study something, you can have a cookie cutter mentality about it. I've actually seen that problem in Toastmasters. People gesture the same way. They speak the same way. They move on the stage the same way. And this is from club to club. It's not to say everyone does, but it is enough of a problem to where I've gone to just about every club and I've seen like this cookie cutter kind of way to give a speech. Yeah, what you don't want to stop at is learning what everyone else is learning. Learn the basics of public speaking, but then you got to go beyond that. And a great way to go beyond that and create your own style of public speaking is to use creative thinking skills. All these skills are there for are to solve your problem. And you have to be very specific with what your problem is. So if your problem is, how do I become a unique speaker? That's a good problem statement. You could probably get even more specific than that. And then they'll generate solutions to solve your problem. And then when you generate the right solution and you focus on that, then you will become that speaker that you want to become. In game design, my example problem statement was, how do I design a great game? Well, that's not even focused enough. So I got so specific to my problem statement that I said, how do I design a game that is a game where you tap the screen and a ball goes up the screen? How do I design a newer and better version of that genre? And then all the ideas I generated with these techniques were focused on creating a more innovative and better version of that style of game. Like I said, I can't speak more or highly of creative thinking techniques and skills, because a $12 book filled with these skills that I applied on a daily basis completely changed my life from where I was completely broke last year to this year. I'm getting a house and I've been traveling the world. And it's all a result of me focusing on improving my thinking nonstop. Even today, I'm always thinking, how can I improve my thinking? I apply these techniques and I keep on expanding how I think. Stay away from learning what everyone else knows. Have a very unique way of how you think about anything that you're working on.
Yeah, I agree that Toastmasters gives you a platform to do that as well, which I think is super great. I'm sure people are probably wondering, we're talking about the game, we're talking about the app. Maybe tell us a little bit about the app.
Sure. It's a very simple game. You have a character that's a ball and you tap the screen with your finger and the ball starts to jump, but you have to keep tapping it so it keeps jumping. There's gravity. And then as you go up the screen, there's these rotating obstacles that have four colors. So for example, if there was a circle and you broke it up into four equal parts, each part is a different color. And you have to go through the part of the color of the circle that matches your current color of the ball. So if I'm orange and I go through orange and I get through that through the top of it, there's going to be a little color changer that changes the color of your ball. And now you have to go through the new color of the new obstacle and so on and so on. It goes on forever. The game is very simple. It's very easy to pick up. Anyone I've seen as young as 2 years old all the way to grandparents playing the game. and getting it. I kept everything about this game very simple, the amount of colors, the gameplay, intuitiveness, so it'd be easy to pick up. When I was thinking of an idea to make, I actually looked at some ideas that use color that have been around for years, because I thought, you know what, if I could make a game inspired in part by some products that have been around for 30 plus years, I could maybe draw some of that, the strength from those products. So I looked at Uno, which also has four colors, has like a color changing kind of element in a completely different way. There's a Simon game, which is a memory game. And then there's also Pac-Man, which is also very simple and has a very limited color palette, dark background and all that. So I looked at all these big iconic ideas, and I also took some inspiration from those as well, in the hopes that I would be creating an idea that would also be something that most people could be interested in.
David, one of the things you mentioned a few moments ago was the power of self-education. Before we started recording the show, you shared with us a bit of a connection between your thoughts on that and the film Good Will Hunting. And I thought that was a really interesting comparison and anecdote. Could you share that with our listening audience?
Sure. It's a great metaphor for this. So in the movie Good Will Hunting, there's a scene where Matt Damon's friend, who played by Ben Affleck, goes into a bar, sees a girl, and he's trying to impress her. He says, well, there's this guy there who is college educated, and he starts making fun of this guy, Ben Affleck's character. And Ben Affleck's character is a blue collar worker. He doesn't know half the stuff the guy's talking about from his social psychology or classes or whatever it was he had studied. So Matt Damon sees this going on. He has education in his own way. And so he goes up to this guy, starts tearing apart everything the guy's saying. He's like, oh, you got this from your Psych 101, Chapter 5, read that book, Half-Baked Ideas. And then he just kind of like tore apart everything he said. And he said, when are you going to come up with your own ideas? And then progressed from there and just showed that this guy had no original thoughts of his own. And he was just regurgitating what he learned in college. Also about that is, yeah, there it shows scenes of Matt Damon's character in his house by himself with a stack of books all over the floor, just teaching himself and learning. I thought, you know, it's a powerful thing that everyone goes to college. You think college educated, this person is highly intelligent or whatever. That's a cliche. But oftentimes what happens is people go to college and they get a cookie cutter way of thinking. They get the same education as everyone else who goes for that major. And they get the same ideas that have been taught, and that fuels all their thinking. Well, a lot of these ideas aren't their original thoughts. They're just there to learn facts that, you know, establish ways of thinking. Whereas Matt Damon's character, he reads everything and then figures out what he thinks about it. He becomes more of a divergent thinker than a linear thinker. There's a lot of power in that. Now, it's not to say college is a waste of time or a bad thing, but you have to realize that you cannot ever stop learning. For example, thinking, oh, I got this degree, I'm good to go. You really have to assume you don't know anything so you can strive to learn everything. And even in my success with the game, I always tell myself, man, David, you don't know anything about this. You better keep learning. And the parallel with that example in the film is that my game design education cost me less than $100 because I spent the money on two books and studied at home, just worked on game design at home. I don't have formal training in it. I went to college for theater. So I've seen the power and the benefit of educating myself, coming up with my own ways of thinking about topics. Understand that everyone else is getting the same education. What are you going to add to it to have your own thoughts and ideas about whatever subject it is that you've studied? And so I love that film because I think it's a great metaphor for that idea.
That is a great example.
David, given your challenge with color, did you find that was something that helped or hindered you? Did it inspire you to do the app? And how do you handle the color challenges?
I always say if there's a problem, it's just waiting for a solution. If I have color blindness, the solution is to study color theory, which tells you how colors work together or how they don't work together, to use tools that are available on anyone's computer, that being the color wheel and the color picker tools. Those will tell you exactly what colors you're using. And if you back that with knowledge of how colors work and understanding the power of color and how it affects emotions, which neither of those require correct color vision, then you are equipping yourself with the necessary tools to use color however you want. Color blindness was the problem, but the solution was use color theory knowledge and color tools available on any standard laptop. The reason I also focused on colors is because I know how powerful color is. And when I really focused on making a game that could be powerful to many people and the visuals, I focused on color and simplicity in color. And then it got my thinking over to other products that have come out that are also simple in how they use color in powerful ways. And you know, the ones I mentioned, like Pac-Man, Uno, Simon, there's many, many more products, but I really focused on simplicity and the power of color and fixed my problem of color blindness by utilizing the knowledge of those tools.
Yeah, it's all about the color. As Paul Simon in the song Kodachrome, he said, "Everything looks worse in black and white."
That's a good quote.
Perhaps, David, you could share with our audience some takeaway that you can give them about your about the experience that you've had.
I talk all over the world now. These are the three key things that are the most important things that I've learned from this. And these are things that anyone can do and work on their own breakthrough in their careers. These are tools that don't cost a lot of money or they cost nothing, but they can take you wherever you want to go in life. Number one, you have to always consciously improve your thinking. That means if you find something you're passionate about, you're going to learn everything there is to know about it from every kind of perspective. You're going to research, you're going to meet people who are more expert at that than you are. You're going to learn from them. You have to attack your thinking about that topic from as many angles as you can think of. So you always have to improve your thinking. Great way to do that is to use creative thinking techniques. Number two, you have to be inspired by many things. Any work of significance that really has touched the public in a large way is a highly inspired work. If you look at the details, that artist was inspired by many, many sources. Their creation is a product of that inspiration. So the more inspired you are, the more inspired your work will be, and what you do will be inspired. So number two, you have to always strive to be inspired and be interested in other people and other ideas and other topics. Number three is you have to, and I made my own acronym, you have to laugh through everything, which means you have to learn, apply, and fail. In my case, I learned game design. I applied what I learned about it. I failed. Then I thought, okay, what did I learn from that failure? I applied that new understanding and I failed again. And I essentially looped this hundreds and hundreds of times until I got to my breakthrough. Oftentimes when you have a big goal, a big dream, something big you want to do, there's a line of failures in front of it. And these are actually your friend. These are all learning experiences if you think about it correctly. So the main three things are consciously improve how you think, consciously work on being inspired by many things, and number three, learn, apply, fail until you get to your breakthrough. It's those who give themselves time limits or say, okay, this time next year, if I don't make it, I'm done, I'm going to try this. That's the exact thing you don't want to do, because when you stop failing, you'll never know how many more failures it would have taken to get to your breakthrough, and you would have gotten there.
David, what's next for you? I know one of the things in the interview with Greg that you did referred to plans to travel around Europe and that you're singing and playing guitar in a rock band. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, I suppose I have many plans. I'm not going to be touring around Europe all year next year, but I will still be playing music next year in Europe. I play guitar since I was 17, so I sing and write. I used to be a music major before I went into the military. I'm going to spend a couple months just kind of in isolation writing music and then play around Los Angeles. There's a lot of places to play here and get the songs fine-tuned and everything. And then go to Europe in June probably or July and go on a mini tour. Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. And now I'm in a position to where I can now spend my time on creative endeavors that I really could not put focus on before because I don't have to worry about finances anymore. You know, eventually opening my own film studio because I was interested in film before games. My goal for next year as far as games is to have 10 games come out instead of one that I had this year, which is going to be very possible because now I hire people to make all my games and I'm just more of a creative director. It's all fun, you know.
Nice.
And you're still going to find time to take in your Toastmasters meetings.
Yeah, well, now that I'm back in town, I was just traveling into 7 countries. I'm going to start going to meetings back at NBC Toastmasters and get back into that. And I think I actually have one scheduled at the end of this month, and I'll probably share footage of what I saw when I was traveling and a lot of things I'm actually sharing in this interview and that speech.
Yeah, you've been around. I know when we had our original chat for the article, you told me that you were in Iceland and you're just heading for a glacier.
Yeah. And since then I went to Iceland, the Faroe Islands, New Zealand, Australia, the Philippines.
Well, David, we really want to thank you for coming on the show today. And I want to remind our listeners to check out Greg's article, his Q&A with David Reichelt. It's called Beating the Odds, and it is in the December 2016 issue of the Toastmaster Member Magazine. David, you shared lots of wisdom, lots of points for implementation that I think will help a lot of our listeners. So thanks again for taking some time out of your schedule to share so generously with us today.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. I'm always happy to share any insights that I've gained, and hopefully I'll look back at this interview in the future and be like, guys, we need to come up with a new interview. Those old ways of thinking, it's old news. I got the better stuff.
Well, thanks again, David. This really has been fabulous.
Thank you very much.
David, thank you so much. And Ryan, you can go back to playing your game.
Well, Greg, congratulations again, not only on your first article in the Toastmaster magazine, but we didn't mention this earlier. This is actually the cover story for the December 2016 issue of the Toastmaster.
Yeah, it's incredible. I am so honored and so humbled to have had this experience. I never, ever thought that this would happen, especially this way.
I never thought this would happen to me. I have to say, though, David's story, it had a big impact on me as well. And since then, I actually gave a speech at my Toastmasters club that was based in part on David's story. And I brought a copy of the magazine and held it up and encouraged people to read David's stories. I just found it so inspiring, the number of failures that he endured, and he endured them with such a hopeful, optimistic attitude. I hope people, if they are listening to this but haven't read the article, please take the time to do so. Greg, what was the experience like for you with being on the other side and interviewing David? And what was your biggest takeaway?
What I really found exciting is I had an opportunity to interview David. We spoke at lengths, and then I also sent him a Q&A that he could respond to, and then we did the podcast. And what I found is that instead of just repeating everything that was said in the article and the podcast, we had an opportunity to cover some of the highlights, but then we also had an opportunity to flush things through just a little bit more. And that, I felt, really gave us an opportunity to get to understand David a little bit more, get to understand what he did, and the more you look into it, the more inspiring that I find that it becomes. And what's really interesting is when I first started speaking to him, the number of downloads was at 100 million. Then it went to 120 million, then 125. And I think we're now at 130 million downloads.
It's incredible.
So it's an incredible story. But also, Ryan, there's lots of also other incredible stories in the Toastmaster magazine that we get to read every month. And next month, we'll be talking to a few more people.
Right.
But Ryan, getting back to your original question, it was a phenomenal experience for me because it combined three things that I'm extremely passionate about: entrepreneurship and business, gadgets and technology, and of course, Toastmasters. So all of those three things were sort of all rolled up into the one opportunity. In terms of takeaway, there were a number of takeaways. And in fact, I'm sure if I listen to the recording a few more hundred times, I'll probably get a lot more out of it. But I think for me, the first thing is, anything is possible, just never give up. Because I don't think myself, if I was doing what David was doing, I don't think I would have gotten to 20 maybe. And I mean, a 40 plus was incredible. So you just give up. It's like that little cartoon where the guy is digging, and he gives up, and the gold vein, the vein of the gold mine is just right there.
Right.
The other thing is the creative thinking. Always trying to change your thinking and change your thought process. I think that's interesting because if you keep thinking the same way, then things will never change. And I think the final thing, which I think most of our listeners out there would probably appreciate, is the fact that Toastmasters can be woven into any part and any aspect of your life, no matter what it is.
That's right. Yeah, great point. And to touch on your second point there, I didn't tell you this before, Greg, but right after the interview, that same day, I actually ordered the book Thinker Toys that David talked about in the interview. And I've been reading that, and there's some really fantastic information in there. And I think the key probably is going to be not just reading it, but doing the exercises as David suggested.
Ironically, today, as we speak, adding this little end cap to the interview, I just received my copy in the mail today.
Oh, of Thinker Toys?
No, of the Toastmaster magazine.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The electronic copy is beautiful. The PDF is beautiful. The online version is beautiful. But to see it in print, it's absolutely incredible. The Toastmaster creative team, wow, it's pretty impressive. But I think David's story will be enlightening to a lot of people.
I hope so. And that's what we're all about here at the Toastmasters podcast, is giving people a deeper look or another look at the people in the magazine that are featured, and helping bring it to life all the more. So this, as always, was a great experience for me. And thank you again for your effort in making this article happen. And I always appreciate the work that you do, Greg.
Oh, thanks a lot, Ryan. I appreciate you as well. And Bo, who's not here with us today.
Well, until next time, that's all we've got. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to bringing more great content to you next time.
Till the next time.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.